The Senate Judiciary and Public Safety Committee will come to order. For the record, this is Thursday, February 10th, 2011, and let the record show that there is a quorum present in the committee. Members, just a quick announcement. Earlier in the day, we had an agenda with three bills, and due to the lateness of the hour, we have decided to only go on one bill. That would be Senator Kubley's bill regarding eminent domain and the portion of easement discharge authorization. The other bills of Senator Scheid and Senator Latz will be, you'll have to just watch our schedule, and we'll pick a different day for that. So if you're, everyone's welcome to listen to the Kubley bill, but if you have other business, please feel free to leave if you'd like. Senator Kubley, welcome to the committee.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. With me is Mr. Dennis Larson from Montevideo, Minnesota, in my district. He's been pursuing this as a portion of an easement. Formerly in statute, you either had to release an entire easement or none of it at all. And, I think he got some feedback from the court that, this releasing a portion was not possible under current statute. I know there are different ideas about that, and you'll no doubt hear those, Mr. Chair and members. But we appreciate the opportunity to present the bill, and I would ask Mr. Larson to tell you about it.
Senator Kubley, I know that last year you had this bill. It not only passed out of this committee in a rather short time, mm-hmm. it also went on to the consent calendar of the Senate, and it passed, I think, also, unanimously.
There were no dissenting votes in the Senate, Mr. Chair, that's true.
Somehow it didn't go it all the way through, so we're back at it again this year. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Larson.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you. My name is Dennis Larson from Montevideo, Minnesota. And you're right, this is the same bill. The language hasn't changed last year. It's the same bill. I'm assuming it has a different number. You're right, it passed the Senate 66-0. It passed every committee, and then it ended up with another committee member, and the committee member decided not to hear it. That's hard for someone like me to believe that I don't know how many hundred voted yes on it, and one person can just kill it. But here we are again. This bill is a good bill, for that reason, I have spent many hours and days down here. Last week, I think I spent more time here than Mr. Kubley, but I was here before he got here, and I was here after he left.
It's hard to fathom any more hours than Senator Kubley can.
I know that is, but that's how strong I feel about this bill. But what this bill does is the other side, I believe you'll give them an opportunity to speak. They're going to make it into that this is the taking. I'm trying to take a public beach away. Well, there is a public beach involved, but to the contrary, they are reporting to the Alexandria Press that I'm the bad guy. I've been trying to donate this beach for 6 years to the public. So I've been trying to clean up this piece of property of the MnDOT easement that is on it now. Mm-hmm. MnDOT took an entire easement, and I'm sure all you know about easements. When back in the days when you took easements, you just took it on the entire parcel.
Right.
That way you didn't have to survey this little strip or this strip. The utilities would go through there, and they would take an easement on 100 acres when they only needed 50 feet on one edge of it. But the law requires the utilities, if requested, they need to define their easement. That's the language I'm looking for. So in other words, if a utility has an entire easement on 100 acres, and that farmer wants to develop it or turn it into a CREP program, a RIM program, that farmer cannot do it because MnDOT has the easement on the entire property. The courts either need to release all of an easement or none of. So in that case, the court's hands are tied. I've taken this all the way to the Supreme Court, and they agree with MnDOT and the county and cities that they have no authority to release a portion of an easement. So I'm here to just add, I think it's five words, that the discharging the easement or portion of the easement, five words, is what I would like to add to the current easement. What that would do, it would bring it in line with the same statute that's out there for the utilities and anyone else that has an easement across a private party's property. We have an easement that says one thing here, or a statute, and the same statute over here that applies to MnDOT differently. So this would bring everything in line, no confusion. What this also does, what you'd be voting on, you're not voting on taking a beach away. This isn't about a beach. This is all about making a statute in line with another statute that exists. I give MnDOT, or the county, last year. I'm a guy that when I believe strong in something, I'll fight hard and spend a lot of time. I give them 10 reasons, and I don't know if you've seen this, but I give them 10 reasons, and I said, if you can come up with 10 reasons why better than this, I said, I'll drop this and I'll walk out the door. I haven't heard from them. 10 reasons why this should be changed is to make the statute consistent with a similar statute, 161.43, to give the landowners the right to petition the court to release the portion of the land that is not being used for the purpose for which it was taken. It's not right for someone to take your land, use it for a highway, and then put up toilets, turn the public loose on your land, or use it for any other purpose for which it was taken. To put the final decision with the court system. That's where it belongs. It shouldn't belong to the most popular party here. It shouldn't belong to the strongest party. It should belong in the hands of the court to decide if a piece of property isn't being used for the purpose for which it was taken. To enable the municipalities to be reimbursed for land that is given back that's not being used, because there's usually a payment involved if a municipality or MnDOT takes property for an easement. To put the land back on the tax rolls. Because no land should be put in limbo for eternity. And that's what I'm saying. If MnDOT builds a highway across your 100 acres of land and only uses 10, the other 90 acres you can't do what you want to do with because they have an easement. It passed by the Senate 66-0. It passed by the Local Government Division of the State and Local Government Operations Reform, Technology, and Elections Committee. Passed on the House floor unanimously on May 5, 2010. It does not affect any legitimate rights the easement holder has. So as a landowner, I still have to petition to the court and do my due diligence, and the opposing party would have to do the same. So I ask you to please vote for this. And again, the other party is going to come up here and say I'm going to take their beach away. You know, that's fine. This isn't about a beach. It is to them, but it's not to me. And like I said, if you really get down and get to the truth of it, I've been trying to donate this beach and get a tax write-off. And MnDOT encouraged me. I spent tens of thousands of dollars surveying it and getting the fee rights ownership to this land, only to have them in the county and the cities get together and decide, well, we're more powerful than Dennis. Let's just drop everything and fight this. So here we are.
Well, thank you, Mr. Larson. Mr. Larson and anyone else in the room that's going to speak on this, I may want us to remember that we're not necessarily a courtroom here where we're judging the use of land. We're trying to make law that would apply uniformly across the state. That's the question that we have before us. There may be some disputes going on in someone's local neighborhood, but I want to make sure that we focus on the principles involved in making this into law on behalf of all citizens. I have one question, Mr. Larson. And Mr. Larson, this bill, the way I read it, this, if we pass this into law, does this necessarily change anything automatically with the status of this land that you're involved in? Or does it simply give you a right to go to court? Could you explain that for us?
Yes, this statute is by changing it, allows the landowner to petition to the district court for a portion or all of an easement to be removed. The way it's written now, it's all or none. So obviously, if MnDOT has an easement across the property, the courts can't release it all, and none isn't a very good option.
Okay.
So all this does is it gives them that option.
Any questions for Mr. Larson? Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And before I ask my question, maybe if the chair would allow me to explain, my name is on this bill. 2 days ago, I had it removed from this bill as an oversight on my part. I did communicate that with the author, and he was fine with that. So my name on the record is taken off of this bill. Also, part of the testimony, and Mr. Chair, I just dropped you that note with regards to Al Liefert representing Douglas County, would be a constituent of mine that was here to testify who works for the parks, that wasn't able to stick around, but if I could offer to
Senator Ingebrigtsen, when we get down the list, pass the questions to Mr. Larson, I was going to make sure that everyone knew that there is testimony in everyone's packet regarding Mr. Liefert. Liefert, go ahead.
Thank
Senator.
You. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Larson, I've had various conversations today, and one was with you. I've also talked with folks representing MnDOT and county cities. Has there ever been any recent or any past discussions with you with regards to the county possibly putting a bicycle trail on this particular property? And I probably know the property as well as you because it's in, let me make that clear, it's in my district, would be on the lake side of that. Has there been any discussion at all with you with regards to that?
In the county?
Mr. Larson.
The county or the city or the state?
No, no one has contacted me regarding a bike trail. There's a bike trail that's already on part of this property that comes to the road, where then goes down to the bathrooms and beach house.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That I'm aware of, but the trail that I'm being told is being talked about or discussed, and I think it's part of his report here, but would go from there across to the north. I think, I don't know, the road is kind of crooked through there, but you know what I'm saying, towards Carlos on Lake Lahamadu side of the road. There would be a bicycle trail they're looking at putting on that side of the road. There's been no discussion of that with you?
No one has contacted me.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, and I do not have much knowledge at all about eminent domain, and I understand what an easement is. I wondered, maybe Ms. Pontius is the person to ask, when an easement is acquired via this process, is there usually a time frame for them to do what it is they're condemning it for? For example, if the utility company have X number of years or whatever to do what they're going to do, or at what point do you decide, or is it decided that they didn't use it for which it was acquired?
Ms. Pontius.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scheid, I think that there is, I can't remember if it's an exact set time and statute, I can double check, but I seem to recall there being sort of a, you know, point in time where they either got to do it or you can have to get the you could get the property back.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, I just was curious to know because the language of the bill talks about when it's not being, I mean, not the bill, actually, current statute is when it's not being used for the purposes for which it was acquired. It's sounding to me like maybe there is this a case of where somebody's using the easement for something they didn't intend in the first instance? Is that?
Mr. Larson?
Mr. Chair, Senator, is it Scheid?
Scheid, yeah.
Okay. Would you say that one more time, your question?
Senator Scheid?
I wondered, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wondered if this is a case of where there, whoever acquired the easement is seeking to use it for a purpose different or additional to what they originally acquired it for.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scheid, yes, the property that we're talking about in this case, mm-hmm. and again, I'm talking about this case,
right.
But what happened was the state of Minnesota, they say that it's a rest area. If you look on their website, there's no rest area on their website. It doesn't exist. There are no signs that says rest area. They're using this as an excuse to say that we're using it in compliance with for the reason we took it. They give it to the county and city, I think it's a combined group, and said they were using it slowly. People were going there. So then they ended up giving them a lease on it for like 20 years, 25 years to use it as a public beach. They built bathrooms on it, shower houses. Thousands of people use this a year. I've asked them to give me an insurance policy so my butt is covered for any liability suits, and they won't do that. You're absolutely right. This land was taken for the highway purposes only, and that is in the documents that I have acquired over the past few years. And they have given it the rights to the public. I even have documents here that say Lahamadu Public Beach. It doesn't say State Highway Public Beach. It doesn't say State Highway Bathrooms, Rest Area. It's Lahamadu Public Beach. Another thing is that in 2012, they're annexing this portion of land into the city. How many state highway rest areas do you see in the city limits? Zero. So they're putting up smoke and mirrors and trying to make this look like it's property that they took, and they're using it for the purpose for which it was taken. And I have a map here to prove that they can't use. What they're saying is not true. If all of this land was used for the purpose of which they took it, and they're going to use it for state highway purposes, you'd be driving on water. I've walked on water a few times, but I slowly sunk. And my guess is that's the same way with the traffic would do also. So we're talking about houses along the lake, and we're talking about a piece of property where it's impossible to use. It's a 30-foot bluff. State law says you can't dig into bluffs along a lake. It's sugar sand. They're saying that, well, we might want to put a postage stamp holding pond there for water. The millions of gallons of water that come down here is going to rest in a little sugar sand postage stamp hole. I don't think so. They're talking about, well, in the future. And it's funny, this comes up after MnDOT, Brian Bosman, encouraged me to move forward with my idea. He said, everybody wins on your idea when I first started this. Why isn't it a good idea anymore? So, they're coming up with all of this. Well, we have a study going on. They come up with all of these excuses after they encouraged me, only for reasons to convince members, Mr. Chair, that what I'm trying to do is wrong. There is no need for this property. They can't use this property for highway purposes. And because they're Mr. MnDOT, the county, and the cities, they're bigger than me and more powerful than me, and they're not going to let me get by with this. They're thinking, well, I really got to tell them that it's going to be a long time before they get rid of me.
Mr. Chairman, if I might then, it sounds like but for the lack of those words or portion of the easement, you probably would have prevailed because they aren't using it. When it's not being used for the purposes for which it was acquired, then you can apply
Mr.
to
Chair,
have that.
Senator Scheidt.
Mr. Larson.
You're absolutely right. I think that I could have prevailed. I can't predict district court, court of appeals, and the Supreme Court what they're going to do. But at least it gives them the power to decide. Right now, they have no authority to release a portion of land. And if it's up to MnDOT in the League of Minnesota Counties and Cities, they won't give that back to the landowner. They don't want the landowner to have that right.
Senator Newman. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, I'll wade in here a little bit and give you this bill from my perspective. And to begin with, Mr. Larson is obviously emotionally involved in this case and apparently has been for a very long time. But this bill is not about a beach on a lake. This bill is a property rights bill, and it is a bill which stands for the proposition of allowing someone to go to court and have the issue decided. What you are going to decide here today is not whether or not he is correct. What you're going to decide is whether or not he has a right to go to court and have a court decide the ultimate issue. In point of fact, to what Senator Scheidt was zeroing in on was essentially a statute of limitations question. And of course, that's a judicial determination that a court would make, we would not make here at the legislature. So it would be, in effect, a defense to Mr. Larson's claim. So I really view this as being a property rights case where a citizen wants to be in a position to go to court and have a judicial determination of his property rights. And under the law that the legislature passed, the Supreme Court has interpreted our statute to say he doesn't have that right and has sent the matter back down to us to reconsider whether we want to give him that right. That's how I am viewing this entire statute. Although he is emotionally involved, the statute isn't about him and it's not about his property specifically. This statute will affect all property owners within the state of Minnesota. And I will tell you that when he mentioned years ago easements would be taken on an entire parcel of land, he's absolutely correct. And I've seen many, many, many of them, not necessarily with MnDOT, but with utilities. I can tell you I've seen many easements that for utilities cover the entire parcel. And now, 40, 50 years later, particularly with refinancing, we will go back, have the property surveyed to locate where the easement actually exists, and a quitclaim deed would be exchanged for the purpose of correcting it. So I really don't see a problem with this bill. I think it's a property rights issue, and all you would be doing is authorizing people in the state of Minnesota to go to court and have it adjudicated, because under the Supreme Court decision of the statute that we passed, the Supreme Court is saying they don't have the authority to decide the case because the previous statute just says an easement, and they interpreted it as the total easement rather than a portion of the easement, and that just happens to be the issue in Mr. Larson's case.
Any further questions for Mr. Larson? Thank you, Mr. Larson. Senator Hall, did you have a question? Okay. We have other witnesses. I made mention of Donald Liefert's testimony that he left in our packets. Wayne Sandberg from Washington County.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
While he's coming up, could I ask you a question?
Sure. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And My question to you would be, because Senator Newman has left here, I would have asked him that, but you've been around here a lot longer than many of us.
Careful.
Have you had an opportunity other than this bill to deal with this issue with any other property owners statewide?
Senator Ingebrigtsen, there are times when issues of eminent domain or easements certainly have come up. I agree with Senator Newman that in the past, when easements would occur on properties, especially regarding utility easements, it would be the easement would require the boundaries of the entire parcel. That was changed a few years ago, and then it's limited. But nevertheless, there was always a specific purpose, it appeared to me. If memory serves me right, there was a specific purpose of why the governing authority or a utility company needed the easement, and it was named as an easement, that the easement was referred to for its purpose. Now, the question we have before us is whether or not if that purpose was never achieved or if there was a different purpose used on the easement than what was originally intended, does the owner have any rights to question or get his use of land back? And I think it's a rather compelling discussion, certainly one for our committee. And in this particular case, we're taking a very limited handling of this particular area of law. But
thank you.
So, you're not Mr. Sandberg, are you?
No, I'm not, Mr. Chairman.
Where's Mr. Sandberg?
Sandberg had to leave, and I will be appearing on his behalf. I'm Keith Carlson. I'm Executive Director of the Minnesota Intercounty Association. I'm appearing on behalf of our organization, on behalf of the Association of Minnesota Counties, the League of Minnesota Cities, and the Minnesota County Engineers Association. I'm going to just touch on a few factual issues and then ask that if I could delay the rest of my testimony and allow the Department of Transportation to make its testimony first, if that pleases the chair.
Go ahead.
I just want to make it clear to the committee the situation that exists here. This property was acquired by eminent domain back in 1957. Long before Mr. Larson was involved with the property whatsoever. He acquired the property along with a partner in 2005, subject to the existing easement for the road and its ancillary use as a wayside. I will suggest to the committee that providing waysides for the rest and safety of traveling public is a purpose that's consistent with its acquisition for transportation purposes.
Mr. Carlson, if I could interrupt, I thought it was a swimming beach with bathhouses and things on it.
Mr. Chair, by popular use, it did become a swimming beach. And the department, who can speak to it better than I did come to an agreement with the county that in order to better maintain the facility, given the traffic that was being generated in addition to its use as wayside, that they granted them the permit that was referred to for 25 years to operate it as a swimming beach. It already at that prior to its acquisition had the rest area. It already had toilet facilities. It already had drainage facilities. All the county did with the assistance of the local Kiwanis clubs was do further improvements to the property to facilitate its incidental use as a swimming property. So if I could go on, and then I would like to turn it over. The final factual issue I'd like to talk about is we've heard mention of the Mr. Larson wanting to donate this property that he acquired just a few years ago to the county of Douglas County. Frankly, the property wasn't his to donate. The easement prevented him doing so. And the donation was really to meet his obligation for meeting a parkland dedication requirement for an adjacent property that he was developing as condominiums. He was originally going to be charged, I believe, $42,000, and subsequently that was negotiated down to $39,000. So it was not ever in any sense of, certainly my mind, a donation. At this point, I would like to defer covering the remainder of my testimony and hand it over to Mr. Ciglio from the Department of Transportation.
Before we do that, is there any questions for Mr. Carlson? Senator Lentz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Carlson, can you help me understand why it would be inappropriate for a district court to ascertain the current use or uses and their consistency or inconsistency with the original purpose of the easement?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I think both Mr. Ciglio and myself subsequently will cover that in more detail, but current law does in fact allow that to occur to determine whether or not the property that was acquired or easement that was acquired is being used for the purposes for which it was intended. And if it is not, they can order the return of that property. This is a much more nuanced situation that, again, Mr. Ciglio and myself will get into further detail, where we're trying to ascertain whether a portion of an easement is being used for a purpose. And again, if you'll permit Mr. Ciglio and then subsequently myself to testify on those circumstances, we can identify better the difficulties that are engendered by just allowing the partial discharge of easements.
Okay. Ms. Pontius, have you read the recent court case regarding this area of law?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
Could you give us a little rendition of where the court ended up on this, especially with its reference to the legislature in giving us an indication that perhaps we should be looking into this in order to clear up discrepancies or confusion, let's say, or intent?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I mean, the court didn't give any direction to the legislature. This wasn't a case where it found there to be any ambiguity in the law. Sometimes, you know, there are opinions where it'll be kind of balancing and looking beyond the language. But in this case, the court really relied on what it considered to be the, you know, the plain, unambiguous language of the statute. And it just looked, did kind of a grammatical analysis and looked at the provisions that specifically referred to an easement and just said it either had to be the whole easement or nothing, basically.
Nothing.
And it did, I think there's been a reference to a Department of Transportation statute, which the court mentioned in its opinion. That's a statute that allows the Commissioner of Transportation to take the point, to sort of take the initiative and discharge a portion of the easement. It's not something where the landowner can come and petition for a discharge. And the court also looked at that as, okay, here the legislature specifically referred to a portion of the easement. Here it did not, and in its opinion said, you know, that statute existed when the other one was enacted, so there must have been a conscious decision to not to exclude a reference to the portion of the easement.
All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Newman.
Mr. Chairman, you know, I'm looking at the Supreme Court case, and on page 10, right at the bottom, it says it's in reference to the Supreme Court, we refuse to interpret section et cetera, to include the phrase, quote, portion of an easement, because that would be tantamount to reading into a statute a provision the legislature has omitted, either purposely or inadvertently. Mr. Chairman, for a long, long time, I have been very critical of the courts when they read into a statute something that isn't there. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, they refused to legislate from the bench. That's how I'm looking at this. I don't think this has anything to do with the beach. I don't think that MnDOT
has the authority to make a decision as to whether or not the easement is being used for the purpose in which it was intended and originally granted. This legislation is going to give a private individual the right to go to court and have it decided by an independent review of the court system. And that's how I'm reading this, and I think the Supreme Court case is crystal clear on that issue.
Thank you, Senator Newman. Any other questions or discussion? Mr. Carlson, you made one question, and I don't want to really belabor this because I want to get more on the focus of what the bill does, not Mr. Larson's land. But you made a comment that Mr. Larson could not donate the land because there was an easement on it. Did I hear that correctly?
Mr. Chairman, members, Mr. Larson could not donate the easement because of the restrictions that existed under that easement. It was property that was acquired consistent with the construction of Highway 29 back in the late 50s, early 60s. It was property that was acquired for the rest stop that has far predated its subsequent development of a swimming beach. Perhaps you can criticize the Department of Transportation for allowing the county to make improvements consistent with what the public was actually done there, but it continues to be used as a rest stop for the safety and convenience of travelers on Highway 29.
The way you understand it, does Mr. Larson have an opportunity to purchase, let's say, liability insurance on the easement? Or who would carry the liability? Let's say if a swimmer drowned or someone fell off a ramp or a swimming board or some type of apparatus that's put there. Who would absorb the liability?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not really in a position to answer that with any expertise.
All right. Mr. Carlson, one other thing: if an owner of a property cannot donate land because there's an easement on it, wouldn't this bill give the owner a right to do that creating a portion of the easement, and then that would take care of itself?
I think you're misconstruing what rights exist with the property. Regardless if the property is acquired by outright purchase, eminent domain, whatever, the property goes with the existing restrictions on it, whether it's a covenant, whether it's an easement. Surely the individual can donate the property subject to those restrictions that were recorded against the property. As a practitioner in the real estate industry, you're familiar with any number of instances. Practically every property has covenants that apply to it. Practically every property has easements that apply to it. The property can be donated, it can be sold, but it's subject to those covenants or easements. So there's nothing preventing the donation of the property, but the existing easement cannot be vacated because it was legally acquired by the Department of Transportation.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Carlson. Is it John Chiglo that you wish to call up? Mr. Chiglo, could you identify yourself for the record?
Yes, Mr. Chair. My name is John Chiglo. I'm the director of our Engineering Services Division for the Minnesota Department of Transportation. The right-of-way or land management section of our department is in my division.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. I'm listening to some testimony here today, Mr. Chair, and there's a lot of innuendos being floated, and we'd be happy to answer any questions you might have about previous testimony with some factual responses if you would like. This property or this legislation really raises significant concerns for us. It's obvious that it may be driven by a site-specific issue at this point. There's been questions about land property right issues as well. But when you look at our entire system, 70% of our system, 70% of 12,000 miles of highway, Minnesota highway system, national highway system or non-national highway system is on easement. And so that is a significant impact to us when it comes to overall management of our system. So the five words that were mentioned here earlier would have a significant impact on the management of our system. We regularly monitor our system for identifying encroachments into our right-of-way. Obviously, when you have 8,000 lane miles of system that are on easement, you probably do not catch everything every year. But legislation such as this would create an enormous burden on us as far as identifying those encroachments in a very timely manner and carrying out the appropriate procedures to remove that encroachment from our right-of-way. The existing statutes do allow, as has been mentioned, the opportunity to request an easement to be released back to the property owner. We purchased this property in 1957 through our eminent domain process. The easement is very descriptive as far as the rights that were purchased. There are mineral rights. There are rights pretty much to do to remove any trees, grass, to mine materials from this site, to store materials at this site. But in addition to that, there are transportation purposes, and one being the use of a rest area or is indeed a transportation purpose. These are important facilities for us. For safety rest areas are very important facilities for us. It has been in place since the 60s, from my understanding. So it is something that is being used, upkept. The property is being kept in good state. We are not at this time mining this property in a time where we might reconstruct this property. There would be a need to build facilities for treatment of ponding. Right-of-way such as this would be provide that opportunity without having to acquire additional right-of-way at the time of that project being constructed. So there's definitely a need for properties such as this, and the use of it currently is indeed a transportation purpose. We have obviously paid for this easement through our eminent domain process. And as I mentioned, there are numerous rights associated with that easement. Let's see here. To answer one question about easements in general, there are two general easements that we have. One is a temporary easement. Generally, it's a five-year time frame. And we have, through the construction process, we generally acquire temporary easements when we have maybe small encroachments with minimal impacts to the adjacent property. We have allowed those easements to be released upon request by the property owner when we're finished with that construction, or it's released at the end of a five-year period of time. The other easement that we generally look at is a permanent easement. That's our terminology. And obviously that is self-explanatory as far as the term of that easement. This is indeed a permanent easement. The one other comment I would like to make, Mr. Chair, is that we, MnDOT, have state of Minnesota has significant highways under easement, and I believe that you would see that there would be even more of the roadways within the local system, the cities and counties, under easement. So it is probably a much larger issue even than ours with the local units of government.
Mr. Chiglow, one question that I had is whenever there's an easement, now the way it's written in law, that the easement has to be acquired by whenever claiming that an easement is acquired by condemnation is not being used for the purpose for which it was acquired, I think that's the key phrase. How specific is your department in writing the purpose for which it was acquired?
Mr. Chair, the response in our easements is This particular easement is very prescriptive, very, very detailed in the rights that are being required. But there's also a broader phrase in terms of a transportation purpose. That could mean wetland mitigation. That could be drainage facilities. That could be for mining of materials. There's any number of transportation purposes. So the detail in the description is more. It's probably a broader term in terms of a transportation purpose because of the broad array of issues that may be needed associated with that property.
Mr. Chigwell, what I was really meaning is in from the Department of Transportation, does it just simply state for transportation purposes, one big broad bucket of definition, or is it we want to put a road there?
Sure, Mr. Chair.
Chigwell?
Or
a drainage pond like you had referenced.
For instance, in this easement, it says state now owns an easement in said lands for highway purposes together with the following rights to erect temporary snow fences or to construct a new roadway, to construct Highway 29 in this instance, or to construct Highway 212 or to construct, et cetera.
Okay. Is there any reference to a wayside rest or a swimming beach in that?
Not in these paragraphs, no, sir.
All right. Senator Newman, did you have a question? Maybe I misread it. Senator Lance?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chigwell, the recitation that you have given honestly sounds to me like an argument on the merits of whether or not the easement is being used for the purpose in which it was intended. And again, I don't believe that is the relevant argument for purposes of this bill, because it puts the Minnesota Department of Transportation in the position of determining the merits of the case. And rather, Mr. Larson, as a property owner, should have the right to go to court and have that determined. And under the interpretation of the case and the statute that we wrote, he has been precluded from exercising that constitutional right. And so, it would be my position that MnDOT should not be the organization that determines the merits of the case as to whether or not the easement is being used for the purpose in which it was intended. That is the function of the judiciary, and Mr. Larson is being prevented from getting to the judiciary on this issue because of the way we wrote our statute.
Mm-hmm. Senator Lapps?
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chigwell?
Senator Newman? I agree that it needs to be determined by a court, and I believe in this case it was determined that how we were intending to use this property was indeed a transportation purpose. And so we go through our condemnation process. We do go through many court proceedings for many, many properties, and we have to testify and justify the transportation purpose for which we are taking this property or a property. I understand that this is indeed maybe there's a disagreement on the current use and the transportation purpose about the current use, but really the difference in the current use versus what we justified earlier, based on my understanding, is the beach.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Newman.
Chigwell, I would respectfully disagree with you on that issue. The Supreme Court did not reach the merits of the case because the Supreme Court determined they didn't have the authority to reach the merits of the case because of the way the statute was written. So Mr. Larson's case was never determined. And that is why we're looking at this bill. It isn't to decide whether or not the beach should be used for the purpose of which it is currently being used. The purpose of this bill is to determine whether or not he has a right to go to court and have the court determine it, because that hasn't been determined yet.
Mr. Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, could I respond? The courts at the time of the original acquisition of the property by eminent domain reached the conclusion that the property was being acquired for a public purpose. What this legislation would do would have us reprove that we had acquired the property for a public purpose, which was already done nearly 60 years ago.
Senator Latz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In response to Mr. Carlson's comment, it appears to me that this proposed change would not require the department to prove what the original purpose was, but rather would essentially require the department to prove that its current use was consistent with the original purpose of the acquisition. And I guess I'll pose the same question to Mr. Chiglow as I did to Mr. Carlson before, which was, can you please help me understand what the difficulty would be, what the problems would be, if a court had the authority under the statute to vacate a portion of an easement,
Chiglow,
or discharge a portion of an easement rather than the entire easement?
Mr. Chair, Senator Latz, when you look at our system, we have, as I mentioned, 8,000 miles approximately that it's currently in easement. That's along the lane, the center line. So there's 16,000 miles of frontage that would be potentially impacted by this legislation. For those properties that we've acquired, obviously, through this easement, we've gone through and justified the purpose and need associated with that property and justified the transportation purpose. With any encroachments, there would be an opportunity for people to argue the point, obviously, that property isn't being used in that or isn't consistent with the original justification for the purchase of that property. And I think it would reintroduce many, many potential issues, and we would indeed have to go through those court proceedings to justify the use of our properties. Time and time again. And I think that's something that we've already done. We've paid for these properties through these proceedings in accordance with what at the time was a fair market value. We've acquired the rights to use the properties. Sometimes it is not readily apparent that piece of property is needed for the transportation purpose, but we're not acquiring property in a unresponsible manner. We're very careful on to the extent of the property that we're acquiring. One, it's not appropriate. The other would be cost, and so there would definitely be an additional burden to have to go back in and explain the transportation purpose for in a manner that you're expressing.
Mr. Chair Lance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chiglow, so maybe I'm trying to get my arms around this thing here. So what you're suggesting is if, for example, when you acquire property for a highway, maybe you need 50 feet on either side of the center line. I'm just taking a number. I don't know if that's the actual number. And you need that for the actual roadway surface, for a shoulder, for a drainage ditch, and maybe for safety purposes in case there's an accident or something. And so you've got adequate basis for justifying 50 feet on either side of the center line as general transportation purposes or highway purposes. And let's say it's along a farm and a farmer, and there's no fence, and a farmer encroaches by 10 feet along the edge, starts farming that land. Are you saying there's some sort of adverse possession that might apply to that encroachment, or that at some point maybe the farmer, because it's been encroached and you haven't defended that half a mile half a linear mile of encroachment that the farmer could presumably go into court and ask the court to say, look, I've been farming it. They haven't been using it for highway purposes, and I want to have that encroachment discharge so I can sell my farm without that easement discharge, rather, so I can sell my farm for development or whatever it is up to that point. And you're saying you don't want to be in a position to defend that for every stretch of highway? I mean, is that kind of what you're getting at?
Mr. Chair, Senator Letts, I think that would be one example. And I want to be careful. We are willing to defend our positions on things. It's not about not wanting to defend our position. But I think when you look at it, a farming situation like you expressed would be one example. I recently noticed or was told of one issue where a house was built in our right-of-way. And so there's many, many different examples of these types of situations. And previous to early 1970s, when we were building our interstates, most of our highways were purchased. That property was acquired through easements. And so there's any array of issues. These facilities don't only accommodate our property, our need, but there's utilities in these areas. There's any number of uses associated with that transportation purpose that by law we're required to accommodate if appropriate.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Letts, we have two other senators. So.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'm still, maybe I'm just not getting the answer. I'm just not satisfied with the answer yet, but I'm still having trouble understanding what the difficulty is with having a district court available or having the district court have the authority if it were to conclude that there is not a use consistent with the original purpose of the easement, current use,
Mr. Jiglow,
in vacating a portion of that easement. I mean, if you can prove that you are using it for that purpose, then there is no vacation of easement. But what's wrong with the district court making that judgment and having the authority to carve out a piece of the easement instead of the whole property?
Mr. Chiglo.
Mr. Chair and Senator Letts, I think it comes down to the it really comes down to a perspective. One person's perspective is that it's not being used as a transportation purpose. Ours would be, in some cases, that it would be. There's probably arguments on both sides of the issue. But I think carving out a piece of an easement is something that becomes difficult at best, I think, when you start looking at an entire system. We are looking at opportunities to expand some roadways, reconstruct roadways, do roadway improvements. Having our right-of-way as we do today in many instances provides us flexibility to do that and manage our system for those transportation purposes. And so these types of piecing out those types of properties does create problems in how we would go about managing our system. Potentially could.
Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple of hopefully simple questions. Who owns the title to this particular parcel of land and who insures it?
Mr. Chiglo,
Chair.
Do you know?
Senator Goodwin. We have an easement providing us certain property rights. I believe the previous property owner, when we acquired the easement, maintained the title with an easement tied to that property. As far as insurance requirements associated with that property, the state has some responsibility associated with how it's used. I would have to look at the permit that was granted to the county and see what language existed in there, but I do not have that permit with me at this point. We'd be happy to get you that information.
Mr. Chair, and I'm sorry, I forgot your first name.
Chiglo.
Chiglo. So that basically tells me that the owner since then has the title to the property, so he actually owns the property. And it also tells me that there could be legal liability for him and that land if something happened, because you're not sure where the liability lies, where the insurance lies, or who covers it. And I guess I find that kind of strange. I don't know a lot. I know we've changed eminent domain laws. I know before they used to be real loose and used to be able to practically cities, counties, whoever used to grab up land whenever they wanted to. But and I imagine that was pretty loose back in the 50s and early 60s. I don't even know if this property could be acquired now the way it was then. But it seems to me that there is a good case here for I forgot the gentleman's name, but
Carlson.
Carlson, Mr. Carlson. That's a tough name.
Larson.
Yeah.
Larson.
Sorry.
Oh, goodness. Okay, well, Mr. Larson. You can tell we haven't spoken. I mean, I'm just really asking these questions off the top of my head. But it seems to me like, so he still owns the title. He still may have legal liability for it. You may want to use the property for something in the future. In the meantime, you're not using it for the intended purpose. And yet you're objecting to him being able to get this aired in a court. And, I have a real problem with that. And maybe you can help me understand, because I don't understand why we'd want to operate this way with citizens and their private land. I don't get it.
Any comment, Mr. Schickler?
Mr. Chair, Senator Goodwin, I don't think we're objecting to his rights to pursue any court rulings against us and how we're using this property. We believe we are using this property for a transportation purpose. He's gone through the court proceedings, and as has been talked about here today, there's certain rulings. The Supreme Court ruled on this last fall. And so we're not preventing him. There's legislation in place for him to pursue a total release of an easement. Under the way we are using the property, we believe the rest area is definitely a transportation purpose. The roadway that's on this easement is definitely a transportation purpose. The ditches that are on this easement are definitely a transportation purpose. And so there is a justification for the easement and how we are using it, and it is consistent with when we acquired it and the purposes that we acquired it under. And so what he's asking is, in my understanding, is a right to pursue a piece of this easement to be released. When we acquired this property, there are opportunities for mining. There's opportunities for storage of materials on this property.
Wow.
But those are all rights that were granted under the eminent domain process for our use of it.
But
and so,
Mr. Chair?
Senator Goodwin?
But I don't understand, because you said that there are specific uses identified in the original eminent domain contract or whatever you call it. But it's not being used. Now you're saying you can use it for kind of anything. It seems so inconsistent, and I have a real problem with this issue, because I'm sure that we don't want our government to operate this way and be just so broadly be able to just change the identity, and it sounds to me like MnDOT has an agreement with the county on the use of this public beach. There was never a public beach agreed to in the original intent. Now a man that has a title for the property has to allow a public beach on his property, and he's even willing to do that and even give it over to the county. And it doesn't sound like something that's very practical and that we can justify in any way I can think of at any rate, and that the court should decide it.
Senator
and
Hoffman.
This will allow them to.
Thank you, Senator Goodwin.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think my question may have been answered. I just want to make clear to myself what we're talking about here, and this bill isn't about deciding the disposition of Mr. Larson's land. It's about deciding if Mr. Larson has the right to go to court, to petition the court to release that portion of the land from eminent domain. Am I correct about
that's
that?
That's correct.
Okay, I just wanted to be clear about what we were discussing.
All right. Senator Letts?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Perhaps Ms. Pontius can help confirm this, but what I'm gathering, the state of the law is you cannot obtain by adverse possession any ownership or easement interest in the land. So that if there are any encroachments, I mean, when it's state land or when it's public land, so if there are any encroachments on any land and the department had a potential future use in mind 20 years down the road after a house is built on it, they have to put in that drainage ditch because traffic's increased or whatever, they could still do that and enforce their easement. I guess that's so maybe Ms. Pontius can confirm that for me. And I guess the second piece of that is if the department were to – is holding an easement for future use that would be consistent with the original purpose of the acquisition of the easement, considered a current use. So if the department is saying, we've got these 50 feet and we are anticipating in 20 years there's going to be enough population growth out here, we're going to have to expand the highway from 2 lanes to 4 lanes. So we don't want to give up the easement because we're going to need that space. But right now we don't need that space. And I can understand they wouldn't want to have an easement carved out when they've got that long-term vision of what they think they're going to need. So would being able to establish that they think there's going to be that future use be sufficient to establish current use for purposes of illegal action or protecting their easement under the current law?
Ms. Pontius?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Letts, I mean, I think that's something the court would consider, even though the statute refers to not being used for the purposes, if they can make the case that, you know, it's being used on some level. There is a trunk highway there right now. There's probably going to be need for it in the future. That, you know, that in itself would just be one of the factors that you could the court could consider. You know, especially I think the court, you look at the line and the lines 10 and 11 in the bill where it just refers to the court, have establishing terms that are just and equitable. I think courts have a lot of discretion to look at the individual circumstances and decide what to do.
Mr. Chairman, just a follow. I suspect part of the MnDOT's concern is that they wouldn't want to be hometowned by a local judge that was more interested in protecting a local property owner's rights rather than MnDOT's perhaps more ambiguous long-term interests in the property. No one, I mean, this stuff happens, and I'm putting it a little crassly, but judges live in their communities, and sometimes they have. Every person has some leanings one way or the other on things. And so, and certainly in terms of the law, the appellate process could clear some of that up. But in terms of fact-finding, that's a little bit more difficult to deal with in the Court of Appeals. And I can understand MnDOT might, they're not saying this, I'm kind of inferring, but I can understand a little bit of concern about being dealt with piecemeal by local judges around the state. If you've got a state law that absolutely puts in effect a practical barrier against any easement relief, then MnDOT's got that protection without having to defend individual actions in court all over the state. But on the other hand, I mean, if I'm analyzing the law right, I trust the district court judges to make the right kind of judgments here. And if MnDOT can prove the use is valid, then they shouldn't have any problem. If they can no longer prove it, there are times land isn't used for its original purpose, and the use changes sort of as you go down the road because they don't want to give up the land.
Yeah, thank you, Senator Latz. Yes, Mr. Carlson.
Hazard a guess on the adverse possession, although I'm not a real estate attorney. If anybody can acquire possession of property by adverse possession that's owned in fee, he or she certainly can acquire possession of property by adverse possession that has an easement on it. There's really no difference.
Senator Newman?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I believe that the current law in Minnesota is that you cannot acquire title by adverse possession against a governmental entity.
And if you think about it, that would make sense. You can, of course, acquire title by adverse possession against an individual, but not against the government, because there'd be such a difficult way to protect yourself against that. The other comment I'd made, the issue of the future use. An easement is an interest in land, albeit less than full ownership. You do not lose the rights to your land because of a passage of time. You own that interest in land, which in this case is an easement. So that would be of absolutely no concern to me at all.
Any further questions?
Mr. Chairman, I ask to follow Mr. Chiglio's testimony.
I'm sorry, sure. I didn't hear you. What?
I asked to follow Mr. Chiglio's testimony.
Sure. Go ahead, Mr.
Mr. Chairman, speaking to the merits of the bill, has Mr. Chiglio said local governments, frankly, are more affected by this legislation than the Department of Transportation? Counties, for example, operate 45,000 miles of highway in the state right now, and about 70 to 80% of those are on easements, so about 31,000 miles would be potentially affected by this legislation. As I've already said, our acquisitions, to the extent they did occur by eminent domain, we had to prove public purpose at front, in front of a court, that the property was being acquired for a public purpose. Basically, what this bill would do would require us, if we were challenged on a particular easement, to reestablish that public purpose, and we foresee endless litigation on this. Because as Mr. Chiglio said, there are any number of instances where we're suffering encroachments right now. In many of the instances, the use of the easement is not immediately obvious to the layperson. We have to maintain the easements for drainage purposes. We have to maintain the easements for utilities. We have to maintain the easements for sight lines, and we have, in some instances, have acquired larger easements than are initially needed in anticipation of the future expansion of the roadways as traffic demands increase, and we will be expanding what initially was a two-lane to a four-lane highway or a divided highway. You know, we, in any number of instances, routinely, if we have acquired an easement but no longer need it, we do relinquish the property back to the underlying landowner by discharging those easements. Probably one of the larger issues that is created by this bill is that the compensation that we would have to be paid if the court was to rule in the petitioning landowners is not at all clear. Are we supposed to go back to the initial acquisition price despite all the investment that the county, the city, the state has made in the property since then, and only get compensated for the original price, or is it something in between? It's a difficult factual issue. I'll just pose some final examples about where this would create things that are probably contrary to what this legislature has been wanting governments at both the state and the local level to do. This particular instance is an example of collaboration. There's nothing that you can do to prevent the local public from using this facility as a beach. It was occurring long before the permit was offered to the county. All they did was come in and make improvements with the assistance of the Kiwanis and started offering lifeguarding services. If this is taken away, if the state says because the wayside is threatened by that permit, it's going to continue to be used as a swimming beach. It's not going to make one whit of difference. Many of the uses that we're making for our right-of-ways are incidental or complementary to our current road or highway purposes. Trails for snowmobiles, for bicycles, for pedestrians are all areas that you have told us through your complete streets policy that was adopted last year that you want us to go down. And we are doing that currently. And again, does this pose as a challenge? Another issue, particularly here in the metropolitan area, is we have dedicated express service occurrings on the right-of-way of highways right now. Since that was not contemplated at the time of acquisition, are we going to be subject to suit under this? Also within those right-of-ways are parking facilities to complement or enhance or incent individuals to use those bus services. Again, at the time of the original acquisition, maybe that use wasn't explicitly laid out in the condemnation proceedings, but again, it's certainly complementary to the transportation use of that property. Are we again going to be subject to litigation that we have to give up those parking facilities and go through and prove again whether or not we meet the public purpose for that property? With that, I'll conclude and be happy to answer any further questions.
Mr. Carlson, you made a question of whether or not, and we keep going back to Mr. Larson's land, but this bill seems to be a lot broader than that, than just Absolutely. One property owner, and whether or not they have a right to go to court in order to determine when a property is not being used for the original purpose that it became an easement, whether or not the property owner has any rights. And the question of whether or not there's payment going back to the easement holder or not, that's already covered in existing law where the fee owner may apply to the district court or the county upon such terms as are just and equitable. And so that's not our concern. That's a concern of the courts. If the owner has a chance to get to the courts. I had a question for Senator Pontius, Ms. Pontius. Ms. Pontius, in a case like this, who has the burden of proof when they're bringing a case forward regarding this type of law? Is it the property owner?
Mr. Chairman, I haven't looked at any of the cases, actually, except for the Larson case under the statute. I mean, I would think at least initially, given the wording, that the property owner would have to at least make some showing that it wasn't being used for the purpose for which it was acquired, because the sentence says whenever claiming that the easement is not being used for the purposes for which it was acquired. So they'd maybe come forward and make kind of an initial showing, and then it would be up to the condemning authority initially to respond. But you know, we are using it for those purposes.
Okay. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak for or against the bill? Hearing none, we need a motion. Mr. Larson, did you have any words to say?
Mr. Chair, can I come up again?
Sure.
I'll try to make it brief. You just heard the opposition say that that he admits that I should have the right, but how do I get that right without this bill being passed? He admits that I should have that right, and you know the way the statute reads now is MnDOT is judge and jury. I don't think that's the way we want this country run, is someone outside our judicial system to be judge and jury. And that's exactly the way this statute reads right now. It gives a landowner no right to go through the system. So I made all kinds of notes, but I'm going to leave it right there.
Thank you, Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Motion, Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman.
Careful.
I know, Madam Chair, Madam President, Mr. Chairman, we all have this issue, I think.
Right.
I would move that Senate File 229 be recommended to pass.
Be passed and be re-referred to Transportation Committee.
Okay. I include that.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Bill passes. That concludes the agenda for the Senate Judiciary Committee. There's no other further business at the desk. Thank you, members.